Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBorough. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Who can tell me what this little thing is called, the official name for it? Does anybody know? You know? What is it? That's right. You got it. It starts with an N, rhymes with Newton. Newton's cradle. That's right. Good job. This is called a Newton's cradle. Do you know why it's called Newton's cradle? I did some research this week because I had no idea what it was called. It's called Newton's cradle because it's based on the laws of motion that were shared with us by Sir Isaac Newton. Do you remember what those three laws were? The first one's called the law of inertia. Right? An object at rest, inertia, will remain at rest until it's acted upon by something else. You remember the second one? Star Wars fans, it's the law of force, right? The law of force. Force is the product of mass and acceleration, yep. And then the last one, I bet everybody remembers the third one. It's the law of action. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Very good. Now, believe it or not, that last one, that'll preach. In fact, this morning, that's what I'm going to preach about. What I want to talk to you about this morning is this idea of for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But I want to change it up a little bit. What I want to talk about this morning is for every act of faith, for every example of faith in action, there is a reaction, but most of the time, it's neither equal nor opposite. In action. It's this. For every example of faith in action, there is an exponential and eternal reaction. Think about that for just a minute. Let me read it one more time. For every example of faith in action, there is an exponential and eternal reaction. What I mean by that basically is that the faith of others impacts our faith, and then in turn, our faith impacts the faith of others, and then so on, and then so forth. That's why it's exponential and eternal. We all learned as kids that actions have consequences, right? How many of you have heard that before? Usually when I heard the actions have consequences speech was usually after either I or someone else had done something wrong, and either my parents or my teachers were hoping that there would be an opposite reaction in the future, right? So actions have consequences. What I want to focus on today, though, is that our actions can have consequences in a good way as well, that our actions, our acts of faith can have consequences that go far beyond ourselves, that the ripple effects of those actions will continue long after we're gone. Not for every action there's a reaction, an equal and opposite reaction, but for every example of faith in action, there is an exponential and eternal reaction. I share that with you today because we're in the middle of a conversation that we're having in the church about giving, and it's this pledge campaign that we're doing. It's called Faith in Action. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that with you today. But more than that, really, I want to talk about how our lives, our life of faith, can have an impact on the people around us, just as others' life of faith has had an impact on us. Today is a day in the life of the church that illustrates this in a powerful way. You may know that on the church calendar, today's Sunday is known as All Saints Day. And it's a special time in the life of the church where we come together and what we basically do is we celebrate the life of faith in action lived by those who have gone before us and have gone on now to spend eternity with God. I bet that there's someone that comes to mind for you today when you think about someone whose life, whose faith has had an impact on your life, on your faith. Those saints that have gone before us that form, like as the Bible says, that great cloud of witnesses on whose shoulders we stand. The consequences of their life, the actions of faith. It may be the reason why you're here today, why you have the faith that you have today. In some ways, our life of faith is a reaction to their life of faith. Do you have someone in mind? I want you to think about that for just a moment. And what I want you to do is I want you to take your bulletin and just notice in the very front of the up and coming, there's a section and it says All Saints Day. And there's a list of names, those saints that are a part of this community of faith that have gone on to eternity with God. And we want to honor them this morning. So I want you to see those names. And I also want you to notice that at the very bottom, there is a blank space. There's actually three blank spaces there. And the reason why they're there is for you to write down that name or those names of the people that came to mind for you. Maybe someone close to you that their life has had an impact on you, that their faith has had an impact on your faith. So if someone comes to mind and you want to write those names down, I want to invite you to do that right now. For me this morning, I wrote down the names of all three of my grandparents that have passed away. My granddad, Jim Hill, gave me the greatest example of grace that I think I'll ever know. He taught me how to tie bow ties. You may have heard me tell this story before, but he taught me how to tie a bow tie a long time ago. And every time I wear a bow tie, I'm reminded of him. And it's just kind of a way to honor him. This is actually his bow tie that he gave me. But when he taught me how to tie the bow tie, he said something to me that was really powerful. It always stuck with me. He said, "Trey, when you tie your bow tie, make sure that you leave room for imperfections so that people know it's real, that it's not a clip-on." And I said to him what I said to you. I said, "You know, Granddaddy, that'll preach." And it's been an example of grace to me. Every time that I struggle with perfectionism, I'm reminded of those words. And I'm reminded that God leaves room for imperfections in my life. The second name that I wrote on there was my other grandmother, Lillian Hill. She supported me, encouraged me in life and ministry. The hospital bed that she passed away in, where I preached her last sermon, and she told me she always critiqued my sermons, and she gave me some pointers for that Sunday. And so I always remember her on this day. And then my other grandmother, Jackie Carey, she prayed for me for the day I was born to the day that she died. And her faith has left a lasting impact on mine. I know that you all have people that are on your hearts and on your minds today. And so just invite you to remember them as we do what we call the roll call of the saints. We honor these folks this morning. Would you stand as we do that? I'll read these names. Ben is going to ring the bell, and as he does, let that be an opportunity for you to just say a prayer of thanksgiving for these folks and say a prayer for their families as they grieve the loss of these folks. And then we'll have a prayer at the end. Luke Denson. Mac Fowler. Jerry Jackson, Jr. Francis Johns. Lindsay Jones. Martha Lemming. Cecilia Lindsay. Nelda Pope. Runelta Puckett. Virginia Rowlett. Marcia Smith. Margie Stanford. Eleanor Teasley. John Tilford. Dorothy Tucker. William Waite Sr. Catherine Warren. And now for those who are on our hearts and our minds this day. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for these saints who have gone before us, who now form the great cloud of witnesses that surround us, that encourage us to run the race of faith that is marked out for us. We thank you for their faithfulness, that they have fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith, and now there is in store for them, as your word says, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give them and all of those who wait for his appearing. God, we thank you for what they have meant to their families, to our church family, and to this community. Lord, we pray for their families as they mourn their loss. We pray, Lord, that our lives might continue the great example of faith that is passed on to us. We honor them today. We give thanks to you for them. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the scripture lesson that I want to share with you this morning, we've already touched on somewhat, but I want you to hear this from God's word. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I want you to notice something from this passage right from the very beginning, the very first word that's written in chapter 12. It's this word that's used a lot in Scripture, and it's powerful and it's packed with meaning. It's this word, therefore. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what's the writer of Hebrews talking about here? Well, one of the things that you may know from Bible study, you may have heard me say it, I've heard Cliff say it before. Whenever this word comes up, this word, therefore, you have to do something very special. You have to go back to the words before it to find out what it's there for, right? So we got to go all the way back to chapter 11. So in my Bible, there are headings for different sections of the Bible. Do you all have that in your Bible? In my Bible, The heading for chapter 11 says, faith in action. And it begins like this. The writer of Hebrews says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. The writer of Hebrews goes on for the next 30 verses or so, talking about the faith of Noah, the faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the people of God as they crossed through the Red Sea, the people of God at the Battle of Jericho. On and on, he tells these stories of faith. And then, just when you think he's done, kind of like a preacher when he says, this is my last point, but he just keeps on preaching. The writer of Hebrews keeps going on. He says this, verse 32. He says, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised. He talks about the disciples, those who followed Jesus, who were living out their faith and dying for their faith. This roll call of faith throughout the ages. And then he gets down to the very end, verse 39. And he closes chapter 11 with kind of this haunting but hopeful statement. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, that only together would they be made perfect. Then we get to chapter 12 with the therefore. Therefore, since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, run the race of faith marked out for you. See, that word therefore here is kind of this bridge between action and reaction. It's this big picture that's pointing to the plan that God is making perfect through faith. It's not for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's for every example of faith in action there is an exponential and eternal reaction. That's what the writer of Hebrews is pointing to here. The writer of Hebrews is saying to the people of God, people like you and me who were living in fear and uncertainty and persecution, he's saying this is the legacy of faith that's been passed on to you. So now, therefore, run this race of faith marked out for you in response. Response to what? It says, and fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the living embodiment of faith in action. God's plan is made perfect through him. He's the one who showed us what obedience to God and submission to God's will looked like with his life. He looked past his own comfort, his own security, his own pain, his own persecution to the provision and purposes of God. He's the one who gave everything for us. He's the one that gives everything to us. His death, the Bible says, proves God's love for us. His resurrection proved to the whole world and all of human history that love is the most powerful force in all the universe. He's the one by his grace that literally moves us from inertia to eternity, from death to life, when we put our faith in him, when we give everything back to him. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law of faith in action. That's the good news. And so this morning, I just want to say, what about you? What's your response? What kind of reaction does this have for you? Maybe today's scripture is just what you needed to hear to move from being at rest in your faith to faith in action. Maybe being at church today has reminded you of this unstoppable force of God's kingdom working by God's Spirit through God's people. Maybe being reminded of the actions of those who've gone before you have inspired you to react, to take action. Maybe you've decided it's time for your faith to have an impact on others in the same way that others' faith has had an impact on you. But wherever you are this morning, the question that I want to leave you with is this. What is your therefore? What is the therefore in your life? And maybe even bigger, we can think about as a church, what is our therefore? How are we going to respond to the good news of God's grace in our life and in our midst? And how are we going to respond in such a way that 100 years from now, how will we be remembered? How will our lives, how will our life together be remembered by those who come after us? I'll tell you this, the prayer for me and for us is that our chapter in this story, in the book of life, in the story of this community, my prayer is that our chapter would have a heading that said faith in action. So what I want to ask you to do is just to pray that prayer with me today. Let's pray. God, I do pray that we might live our lives in such a way that the legacy we leave is one of faith in action. Lord, by our words, by our deeds, by our lives, may it be so, that we might join that great cloud of witnesses and that we might run the race marked out for us. Lord, we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. Amen. These altars are open this morning. I invite you to come. If you'd like to begin a relationship with Christ or begin a relationship with this church, you're invited to come as you sing, as we sing. You may be sitting there today thinking, you know, my life is not really the kind of story you would want to put in the Bible, in that great story of the saints. But the first thing I would say to you is you should go read some of the stories of some of those folks in the Bible, and they're far from perfect. But the amazing thing about God's grace is that God can take our imperfect lives and use them to share his perfect love with the world around us. And because God's grace is new every morning, this could be a new beginning for you and for me as we allow God to tell God's story in and through us. So I invite you to come and pray if you'd like. If you'd like to pray with one of us, we would love to do that. But as we pray, would you stand as we sing?